There are some words there in verse 5 that I want to draw your attention to for a little while this afternoon. It's those words of the Lord Jesus to Saul of Tarsus. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. These striking words are the words that the Lord himself spoke to Saul of Tarsus. It was the Lord Jesus who appeared unto Saul of Tarsus on that day on the Damascus Road. And it is the Lord Jesus who spoke these words that brought this man's career of persecuting the Church of Jesus Christ to an abrupt halt. As we have read there in the opening verses of this chapter, Saul had obtained permission to travel with the authority of the chief priests in Jerusalem down to the city of Damascus. And it was his intention that if he found any who professed to be followers of Jesus Christ, he was going to apprehend them. He was going to bring them bound to Jerusalem. And there they would be examined. And ultimately some of them would be put to death for no other reason other than that they professed allegiance to Jesus Christ. But Paul's career was brought to a halt as a result of what happened to him that day on that Damascus road. The Bible tells us here that he was almost at the city of Damascus. He was almost there when the Lord intervened. But he was never going to enter into the city of Damascus, a persecutor of Christians. Rather, as we read elsewhere later on in this chapter, chapter 9, we read about him entering into Damascus, and after those days when he received his sight, instead of persecuting the Christians, we read that he preached Christ. He went down to the synagogue, and there he bore testimony to the fact that he had come to believe on Jesus Christ. And what a day it must have been when he asked that question, "Who art thou, Lord?" When the voice first spoke to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He realized that somebody was indeed speaking to him, and he realized it was the God of heaven who was speaking to him. But what must the impression have been in Paul's heart and mind when he discovered that it was the very individual that he had set himself against who was now speaking to him with all the attendant glory? Because there's mention made here of the brightness of the light that shone. And later on in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 26, when Paul is giving his testimony there, he says that the brightness of that light was above the brightness of the noonday sun. Well, the sun is pretty bright in the Middle East at noonday. Some of you have been there in the land of Israel, and therefore you can relate to it even more than those who have not. But if it's a light that is greater, a light that is brighter than the noonday sun, then it most certainly was a bright light. And Saul understood that this was no ordinary individual that had spoken to him. Rather, it was the God of heaven. But to his amazement, he discovers that it is the Son of God who is speaking to him. Because he asked the question when the Lord first said to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the words came back, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Is it any wonder that Paul was humbled and brought to an end of himself that day when he heard those words, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest"? Every desire that he had to persecute melted away. Every conviction that he had to withstand this gospel that was preached, to persecute these Christians that believed this gospel, had gone entirely in a moment of time when he realized that it was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then the Savior made this statement that we want to consider: "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And it is those few words that I want to draw to your attention for a little while this afternoon. Kicking against the pricks. What is entailed here? What is the Savior referring to? Well, first of all, I want you to consider the strivings of the Spirit of God with Saul of Tarsus. Because that's what the Lord is referring to here. This is not the first time that the Lord has challenged Saul of Tarsus. This is not the first time that Saul has had to consider the claims of Jesus Christ. The Lord has evidently been speaking to him on a number of occasions beforehand. We certainly know that Saul of Tarsus stood that day when Stephen was stoned to death. He was the watcher over the coats of those who did the stoning of that first Christian martyr. So Saul was there in Jerusalem. He was there at that particular time. He was aware of the preaching of the apostles and whatever other events that he might have been at that are recorded in those early chapters of the Acts of the Apostles. We are not specifically told in Scripture, but this we know, that the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed speaking to Saul of Tarsus, because there's such a thing as the strivings of the Spirit of God. God sent His Holy Spirit into this world, and His Spirit strives with men and women. And that is what He was doing with the Saul of Tarsus. And in his mad career, and during those times when he was so set against the people of God and against the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lord was speaking to him. Now the picture that the Lord uses here is one that is taken from the agricultural world. It's referring to the goad that was used. Sometimes in the Bible it's referred to as the ox goad. And what it really was a long stick with a very sharp point on one end. And if you can picture the plowman as he's plowing and he's wanting the ox to move on, not only would he be holding the handles of the plow, but he would also have in his hand this long stick that would be able to reach out over the plow and be able to prod the animal in order to encourage it to pull on and to pull the plow through the ground. And that would be how the plowman would be able to get the ox to move and to keep moving in order to do what was intended and desired. And that is what has been referred to here by the Lord. When the Lord says it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, the Lord is referring to that well-known picture that everybody in Israel would have known. Anyone brought up in that time would have been well aware. They would have seen this picture many, many times of the plowman. Maybe even on other occasions as well, when the ox goad would have been used. But all it was a long stick with a point on the end, desiring to prod the animal into obedience and to do as was intended. Well, isn't that the purpose of the preaching of the gospel? Is that not the purpose of the strivings of the Spirit of God? Is it not the purpose of God through the preaching of His Word and through the strivings of the Holy Spirit that people might be prodded into obedience, that they might feel the prick of the Word of God within their conscience, that they might realize there's something that is required of me, there's particular obedience, I am to repent and to obey the gospel. Now this word that is translated prick here, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. If you turn over to a very well-known portion of Scripture, if you've got your Bible there on your lap, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and if you look at verses 55 and verse 56, and you pick up on the word sting, it's exactly the same word in the original, just two different English translations in these two verses. Here in Acts chapter 9, verse 5, it's translated by the word pricks. But over there in 1 Corinthians 15, It's translated by the word sting. There's a sting when the word of God comes to an individual. There's a sting in the conscience. You cannot hear the word of God and be unmoved. And today, if you're under the sound of this drive-in, and you have not yet come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then of a truth I can say on the authority of God's Word, God, you will feel the sting of the Word of God today as you sit under gospel preaching, whether it's today or any other day, whether whatever times in the past that you have had the opportunity of hearing the gospel proclaimed. My friend, there's a sting in the conscience. The Word of God comes with power and with force. It comes to direct you to obedience. It is that you might believe the gospel and come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And that's what was happening to the Apostle Paul. And it had been happening to him for some time prior to this day on the Damascus Road. The Lord had been dealing with Saul of Tarsus, and he had felt the sting in his conscience. He had felt the pricks of the Word of God as it prodded him and challenged him and called him to that obedience that is required. And it may be today that the Word of God is doing that just now to you as you sit under the sound of it this afternoon. It may be God is speaking to you, and you feel the sting of the Word of God. You feel the prick of the Word of God in your heart and soul this very moment. It tells you that you're a sinner. It tells you that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. It tells you that if you do not come to know Christ, you'll be lost in hell forever. My friend, do you feel the sting of the Word of God? I trust you do. I trust as well that you will obey, just like Saul, that you will come to know Christ, even as he did that day. So there is this strivings of the Spirit that are mentioned here in this statement. But I also want you to think about the struggles of Saul that are mentioned here in this statement as well. Because the Lord Jesus said to him, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Saul was kicking against the pricks. The Lord was speaking, but Saul was not for listening. He was not for listening. He was not for obeying. He was determined to go on in the course that he had chosen. He had set himself against the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had set himself against the very person of Jesus Christ and against the people of Jesus Christ. And he was determined to go on that way that he had chosen. And he was striking out against the pricks, against the sting in his conscience. He did not like what was happening to him, that inner voice that was speaking to him and challenging him. Saul of Tarsus did not like that. That's what fueled his rage, men and women. That's what made Saul, the tyrant that he was, in those days of persecution. That's why this chapter begins with those words, "And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter." This man was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. This is what he lived for. He breathed for no other reason than to wage war against the people of God and the person of Jesus Christ. That's all he lived for. Every breath in his body was directed towards this end of persecuting, standing against, as he said later on in his testimony, doing many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. That word hard, "it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks," is a very interesting word. It does not have a very favorable meaning in the Word of God. It indicates somebody who is uncivil in their conduct, intractable in their actions, rough and harsh in all of their treatment of others. That's what's suggested in that word if you look it up and observe places where it appears in the New Testament. That's the idea that is in that word when the Lord Jesus said to Saul of Tarsus, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." The Lord Jesus knew everything about him, every act of rebellion and every act of rage. The Lord Jesus was well aware of all that Saul of Tarsus did. He was a hard man because he was a man who was filled with rage against the gospel of Jesus Christ and against the person of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not a Saul of Tarsus today, but you're still kicking against the pricks. You're struggling. You're resisting. And you're not for relenting. You're not for obeying. And today there's a struggle going on in your soul with regards to the gospel and the claims of Jesus Christ. And maybe, my friend, it can be said to you this day, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Is it making an impact upon your life and not for the better? Because you're kicking against the speaking voice of God. There's something I want you to remember. And that's another verse of Scripture. Over in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, where it says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." My friend, do not presume that God will continue to strive, for he will not. And he said about that generation that Noah preached to, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." It will come to an end. And if the Lord is speaking today to you, and you know the strivings of the Spirit of God, and maybe even this moment you're resisting and you're kicking against those pricks, it's a hard thing. It will have an impact upon you in life. But far more than that, my friend, it will have an impact upon you for all of eternity. Your soul will be lost. All because you would not yield to Christ and to the claims of the gospel. Is that what you're going to do? Resist Christ and resist the claims of the gospel and take your own soul down to hell because you won't obey the Lord and come and believe the gospel? Will it indeed be a hard thing for you to kick against the pricks? Oh, is it not better? Is it not better in coming to know him? Do you see how utterly senseless it is in kicking against the pricks? You just think for a moment about that situation, that picture that I've described to you about the plowman. And there he is with the long ox goad, that long stick with the point. And he's going to prod the animal. If he has any care for his animals, he's going to do it gently. He's going to do it with regard for the welfare of his beast. But what if the animal kicks back? Well, is the animal not going to do itself an even greater injury? If it kicks back against the ox goad, is the prick of the ox goad not going to go in even further? And the animal will hurt itself even more for no other reason than it is kicking against the pricks. I trust today that you might see that it is not a wise course of action to resist the Lord and to struggle to kick against the pricks. I pray the Lord will bring to you that same realization that he brought to the Saul of Tarsus that day when he realized the utter folly of this, the senselessness of it, the worthlessness of it. May you come this day to Jesus Christ. May you trust in him. May you trust in him. I want you to consider in the last place the servant that Saul of Tarsus became. The servant of Jesus Christ, that is. He was a slave to sin. He was a slave beforehand to the rage of his own heart. But that day he became a servant of Jesus Christ. You've noticed, I'm sure, the words. We've already read them there in that portion of Scripture. Because Saul of Tarsus said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" What wilt thou have me to do? Here is a man who yields to the claims of Jesus Christ and who becomes the servant of Jesus Christ. This is the purpose of the pricks of the gospel. This is the purpose of the sting in the conscience. It is to bring men and women to their knees, that they might call upon Jesus Christ to the saving of their souls. And we discover that Saul of Tarsus was indeed brought down to the dust. He fell on the ground, we are told, and here's the words that he uttered: Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? My friend, will you utter those words today and say to Jesus Christ, what wilt thou have me to do? My friend, the first thing that he would have you to do is to believe on him and to repent of your sins. That's the very first thing. You've got to believe on him and you've got to repent of your sins. And then you can do something for Christ. Then you can live for Christ and serve Christ, and bear witness to Christ, tell others that you have indeed come to know Jesus Christ. But the first thing that you have to do is you have to come to believe on Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. That's what the Lord would have you to do this day. And I trust that you indeed will be obedient, that you'll be a Saul of Tarsus, that you'll become a servant of Jesus Christ and a follower of the Lamb. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oh, do not kick any longer, but rather come to Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts this evening for his name's sake.